Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Justice Department is asking the Supreme Court not to take up an appeal from Ghislaine Maxwell, the former partner of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, who was convicted of sex trafficking. ABC's Jay O'Brien says some lawmakers now demanding transparency over the so-called Epstein files after Attorney General Pam Bondi declined to release files, angering some Trump supporters.
There are some Republicans who have said, look, that they express confidence in Attorney General Pam Bondi, who has, of course, been in charge of these disclosures, but even they say the Department of Justice, in their view, has somewhat hyped up what is in these documents and created this problem by saying that these records have these kind of bombshell of disclosures and then, of course, not delivering when it comes to disclosing some of these records, certain elements of the video.
The Consumer Price Index edging up last month. Analysts say President Trump's tariffs on imported goods are likely behind the rise. It comes as the Federal Reserve is considering an interest rate cut. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Today is a campaign finance deadline. We're seeing fundraising reports for the first half of the year. Of course, we're coming off the heels of the most expensive state Supreme Court race in American history. More than $100 million was spent on the Susan Crawford-Brad Schimmel election in the spring. Incumbent Justice Rebecca Bradley, a conservative, reported no fundraising activity as of the end of June, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Meanwhile, Judge Chris Taylor has announced record fundraising for next year's election, more than $500,000. That's even more money than Justice-elect Susan Crawford's campaign raised during the same time period. Taylor's campaign says she's gotten donations from almost 5,000 people and organizations from all of Wisconsin's 72 counties. This signals the state may continue to shatter Supreme Court spending records. And you know what that means. Prepare for the political ads to return. Even though the race for governor is more than a year away, Whitefish Bay Republican Bill Berrien is moving fast. Less than a week after announcing his campaign, he's booked about $400,000 in ads on radio, TV, and online. The former Navy SEAL and manufacturing executive faces Washington County Executive Josh Shulman in the Republican primary. Governor Tony Evers has not said whether or not he'll run for a third term. And today is Give Something Away Day. So if you've got boxes of things to donate just sitting in the garage, clothes that don't fit, old kids' toys, today's a great day to finally drop it off. Here in Madison, we've got Goodwill, St. Vincent de Paul, Habitat for Humanity, and the Dane County Humane Society, and all of them have thrift stores that accept donations to further their missions, whether it's to help people with disabilities find fulfilling job opportunities, get families into homes, feed the hungry, or care for animals. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
The All-Star Game tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the Midsummer Classic, the All-Star Game in Atlanta. The Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski is there, likely get to pitch in the sixth or seventh inning. That's according to National League manager Dave Roberts. Now, some teams have complained the Miz doesn't belong in the All-Star Game after just five career starts. What did his teammates say?
They were all thrilled about it, and they're happy for me. Yeah, no, it's been the world for the guys to be around me and support me how they have. It's been awesome.
Basketball. Doc Rivers says ignore the reports on ESPN. Rivers says he met with Giannis Antetokounmpo right after the season ended against the Pacers.
Giannis came in to me the day after the season. We're talking about next season already. You know, there's far more talk outside of Milwaukee than there is inside of Milwaukee. Giannis loves Milwaukee. We love Giannis, and it's been a great relationship.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hot and humid today, with highs spiking to the upper 80s and the humidity really making it feel more like the low 90s. A slight breeze out of the south with clear skies tonight. Do have showers and storms targeting us tomorrow afternoon, and some could be strong to severe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 82 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, Jim Santel. We'll discuss the big takeaways of the last term of the Supreme Court.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
From the Civic Media
on
World
location.
Headquarters
in Madison. It's the Todd Alba Show.
And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. Welcome in. It is the 15th day of July, 2025, a Tuesday. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. We are on location, not at the World Headquarters of Madison, but at Radio City Rocket Park in beautiful Racine, Wisconsin, the home of WAUK Milwaukee from Racine, and Zommers already. And Zommers is with me. I'm very excited about this. Usually when we go on the road, he has to stay back at the World Headquarters, but he was allowed to come on the road with me. And already, Zommers, the board here not functioning like back at home.
Yeah. I want a do-over on that one.
The look on his face. If we had been recording, he would have just said, all right, cut, we're going to do this again. But this is the beautiful thing about live radio. There ain't no going back. It's fine. It's fine. I feel like I'm visiting you in a prison cell, by the way, because the window, it's like a slit in a cell.
Very much feels like visiting a prison cell. But we'd be a little closer and talking on a handset, like, you know.
But it's funny just to see, like, your face and your head through the window. But it's fantastic.
I see a little more of Todd because he's farther away from the window. But.
Yeah, if you're watching on the stream, down here in Racine, there's a camera that follows you around. So watch this. I can go over here and it follows. Oh, look, it follows me over here. There's a window for those watching on the stream. Fantastic. Big show today here in Racine. It's our first leg of our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour here in July. Our friends Jane Matinere and Greg Bach are going to be joining us from the Matinere On Air program. You can hear it every morning from 9 until 11. Always a great show. They are going to be hopping on the van with me after this show, and we're heading up to Oshkosh Bagosh. We're going to be there in Oshkosh at the EAA Museum because next week the big EAA show takes over town. People come in from all over the world. It becomes the busiest airport in the world next week in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. So we're going to preview that tomorrow in Oshkosh, and then we're heading back up getting in the van. And from there, we're going up to Butternut, Wisconsin, talking local artisans from beautiful Butternut. And then from there, it's over to Hayward on Friday. We're going to be outside at The Lot. The Lot. Not Big Lots, but The Lot.
Of unspecified size.
Yes. It's a beautiful place. It's a pavilion there. It's right across outside from our studio, Muskie 101. The Muskie up there in Hayward. We're going to be outside. Stop by. Join Jane and Greg from 9 until 11. And then join us outside from 2 until 4 on Friday afternoon. Beautiful Hayward. The World Lumberjack Championships happening. A powwow is going on from our Native American community. And lots more to talk about. Might go muskie fishing. Who knows? It's going to be a big show all week long, so she'll keep it here, both to Jane and Greg's show, Matt and Aaron Air in the morning, and our show in the afternoon. Going to be a great, great week, and many thanks to all of our great staff here at WRJN, WAUK Studios. Is there another? No, it's just those two stations here. Chris Morrow, our sales director, also the GM down here. Many thanks to him for letting us plant our story behinds in his station here for a couple of hours. We appreciate that. Thanks to Luke Mathers, our very own Luke Mathers. Here's the deal. On the vehicle, I no longer have a company card. So God love Luke. He came down into Wauwatosa. Our bus van is from Wauwatosa, and he came down this morning and brought the company card with him, but as George Costanza once said on Seinfeld, didn't take. So poor Lukestra had to put this thing on his personal card. Thank goodness there was room on his, because there wasn't room on mine. Yes. And we appreciate Luke making the trip, and then he was here today. So, like, the gang's all in Racine. It was fantastic. So appreciate everything Luke's done to get this trip going. Many thanks to Todd Michaels in Oshkosh for his work leading up to that. And many thanks to Darla, our great station manager up in Park Falls and Hayward, for all of her work up there. And there's a lot of other people behind the scenes making all this happen. And we couldn't do these things without them, and certainly not without you, Zommers. So thanks to everybody for making this great week of What Makes Wisconsin Great happen. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks to all those people. You know, for me, whatever. But no, everybody else absolutely. Doing all the great work of scouting out locations, getting people to come on the show, all that great stuff. Yes, we appreciate it very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Other things that are different in Racine versus the world headquarters of Madison. In the men's room, did you see this in the men's room? There's a sign on the mirror that says no grooming. No grooming in the over the sink.
I did not see that.
I'm like, what are people grooming in there?
I don't want to know.
I don't know why. I don't know. But I will not. I groomed this morning. I groomed the beard this morning before I left Madison.
As did I.
So I'm freshly groomed. So be no grooming. Big show today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'm very, very excited about this. State Representative Tip McGuire, Democrat of right here in Racine, represents the 64th District. He's a member of the powerful Joint Finance Committee. We'll be along. He's going to be joining because we're in his district, but we picked a bad day because he's outside the district. But he's kind enough to call in via phone. So Representative McGuire will be on the show talking about the budget, talking about what's next in the state legislature, and talking about Racine, his hometown, and how cool is that he grew up here, and now he gets to represent it in the state legislature. And Tip and I go back a ways, my last stint in the Capitol, 2010 to 2014, and Tip was working for former state rep Peter Barca. And we used to go for walks around the Capitol and chat in a bipartisan way. So anyway, now that he's a representative, he's going to be on the show, and we're looking forward to that. And we're also in hour two, a little what's worse for you, Zommers. And CP, our writer and co-executive producer of this program, has done a great job on the what's worses this week because they are location specific.
Yes, they're very topical.
I love it. And we're here, and one of our great sponsors, by the way, here in Racine on Civic Media is O&H Kringle. And here now, if you're watching on the stream, when I got into town, look at that. There it is. Oh, look at that beautiful packaging, O&H Kringle. And I got ourselves a raspberry Kringle. Already, Lukester has been in. Well-deserved. He got a piece. Zommers has a piece over there. And O&H, great sponsors of Civic Media. We appreciate their sponsorship, their partnership. And here in my hot little hands, a piece of O&H Kringle. How is it, Zommers?
It's excellent, as you well know.
I'm about to take a bite.
I just did before he did.
Mmm. The raspberry filling, it's a perfect proportion. It's just, it's beautiful. It's tender. It's sweet. As Andy Griffith once said about another product, good Kringle.
And so, also, something I like about it, the middle is kind of a pocket.
Yes.
You know, I've had Kringle before where the filling is kind of another, you know, solid layer, and it's very thin. Not so with these.
No, Kringle is Kringle rules in Racine. Many thanks to O&H for being a sponsor. And at hour two, we're going to ask you the question. There's really only one right answer, but we'll accept them all. What's worse, coffee, cake, or Kringle? That's in hour two. And our very own Greg Bach, co-host of Matt and Air on Air every morning from 9 until 11. Greg's going to be here in studio, and we're going to talk about the last segment about getting on the road. Jane, I thought we'd bring Jane on as well, but Jane, she has people, and her people are getting her ready. Before we head out. No, not really. I'm just making it. She's going to leave her car at her place. We're going to pick her up on the way out of town.
Seems like a good move.
Yeah, absolutely. My truck is sitting in a lot in Wauwatosa. Will it be there when I get back? We'll find out.
I hope so.
We'll find out. Oh, also from O&H, look at this. I got this for Jane and Greg and I. It was a lemon loaf, a lemon pound cake loaf.
It looks amazing.
I'm a sucker for lemon.
Oh, so. Me too.
So I got that there, and so it's going to be a great trip, going to be a great few days here, and really looking forward to that. So big show today, and hope you stay with us. We'll take your phone calls as well. Can we take phone calls here?
To my knowledge.
Okay. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. I want to start here. Because speaking of going around the state and doing things like that, we ran into, John Merz gave me the phone, the thumbs up. We can take calls. That's fantastic. On Friday of last week, we were at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair with our friend and colleague Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 until 9. Every day, Monday through Friday here at Civic Media. And my sister and I, who is our on-site producer, we do these things. We ran into Republican gubernatorial candidate Josh Shulman in one of the barns. And we struck up a conversation, and I said, well, hey, I'm doing my show here over in Building C. We don't have a large segment available, but I got about a 7-minute segment if you want to stop over. He said, great, because the Republican Party booth is right across the aisle. I was going there anyway. And he couldn't have been nicer. And Pat and I had him on the program, and we asked him, we didn't have a lot of time to get into specifics, but you know what? He answered the questions that we asked, and he said he'd come back on for a longer segment. Now, he happens to be a Republican, like most Republicans these days, who seems to be in on Donald Trump, had nothing but good words to say about him, which to me, in my mind, makes it someone I would not want to vote for. But he was willing to have a discussion, and I think that's really important. So last night, I'm getting ready for the show, going through some of my, social media stuff that I go through to develop the show. And I came across on Twitter X, Twix, Devin Remiker. Now, here's a guy who just got himself elected to the chairmanship of the state of Wisconsin Democratic Party. Never met him. I hear we're trying to get him on the show. Would love to have him. His predecessor, Ben Wickler, on this show many times. Always, again, I would say I agree with Ben Wickler most of the time. But regardless, he was always willing to have a conversation. And we appreciate that. Devin Remiker, we want him on the show. He has an open invitation to come on. But he retweeted something from Josh Shulman, the Republican gubernatorial candidate. A post he made about the Wisconsin State Fair. Let's try to get this in, Zomer. I think we have time. So here's what Josh Shulman posted at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
Hey, everybody. We're here at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls, and we just had an electric time. There are hundreds of people that came through, and they are so excited for a grassroots campaign with a candidate who's willing to press the flesh, burn the shoe leather, and actually do the work it's going to take to take back Wisconsin. We had a wonderful time hearing still from people in this neck of the woods, and we'll see you soon in Spooner, and then in Monticello, and in your neighborhood soon.
All right, that's all. And he's standing in front of a nice sign that said Wisconsin State Fair in his red three-quarter zip and jeans. I think it's great. There's nothing wrong with that. Regardless of whether or not I'm going to vote for the guy, it's just a very standard campaign thing. Well, Devin Remiker, the new Democratic Party chair of Wisconsin, retweets that along with a picture, and Zomers and I are not exactly sure who this guy is. But Josh Shulman happens to have, I guess you might say, one of his pronounced features is he has really great teeth. And I don't want to say a big mouth, but I mean, his teeth are very nice, and you notice them. I'm not going to date Josh Shulman. He's a married man. But I mean, I think he's a fine-looking guy. Nothing wrong with that. But Devin Remiker retweets what we just played from Shulman along with this other person.
It looks kind of like the comedian Nathan Fielder. I'm not 100% sure if it is.
If it might be Nathan Fielder, the comedian. and seems to be making fun of Josh Schulman's physical appearance. And then he wrote something on it. We're going to come back. I'm going to tell you what Devin Remiker wrote and why I think the guy is off to a poor start as chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Don't attack Trump and then try to use Trumpism to get votes. That's what I say. We'll tell you what he said after this on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Right now, during the Verlo Mattress Clearance Sale, you can save even more with Verlo's already low consumer direct prices. Oh, you'll find phenomenal savings on floor models and discontinued mattresses. And all our mattresses are made locally, just for you, and are backed by our lifetime comfort guarantee. Oh, but you'd better hurry. The sale ends soon. Wake up, sleep better, and save at Verlo.
Hey, Gordy. How you doing?
Oh, Arthur. Great. Great to see you. What are you doing in the studio?
Well, I need to talk to you about doing a commercial.
Okay. Well, you know, to get a commercial on the air here, you just go down to the sales department. It's right next to the bathroom.
I don't think you understand.
Oh, I understand plenty. You salespeople drink a lot of coffee. That's why the bathroom's right there.
Right. But I need to have you make a commercial about commercials.
Wait. A commercial about a commercial? I don't follow.
I want to tell potential business owners out there how to contact me to get a commercial on WMDX.
Okay, I get it. Okay, let's come up with something. Let's see. Business folks can contact you directly, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
What's the email, huh?
Okay, so it's sales@WMDXradio.com.
Oh, wait. Run that by me again.
sales@WMDXradio.com. So we could put all that together and get into a commercial, get on the air soon?
Arthur, my friend, I think we just did.
Advertise on WMDX Radio. Email Arthur, sales@WMDXradio.com.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
Blind Shot Social Club, a perfect blend of cool, casual dining, indoor golf with space for events, craft cocktails, and non-alcoholic drinks, too. A hidden gem on Madison's East Side. Blind Shot Social Club, open to everyone. BlindShotSocialClub.com.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today on location in our beautiful studios in Racine, Wisconsin. Radio City Rocket Park. No, it's just Radio Park, I think. I get confused.
It's Radio Park.
That's Radio correct. Park. All right, Radio Park. Very good. Here in beautiful Racine, Wisconsin. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, going to be joined by hometown favorite son, State Representative Tip McGuire, Democrat here at Racine in the 64th District, member of the Joint Finance Committee. Looking forward to catching up with Representative McGuire after the bottom of the hour. Right now, before the break here, we played you a cut of Josh Schulman, who is the, I should have said county executive, by the way. He's a current elected official, county executive of Washington County here in southeast Wisconsin. Announced he's going to run for governor as a Republican. We ran into him up in the Northern Wisconsin State Fair last week, along with Pat Kreitlow, our colleague. Pat and I had about 7 minutes with him. Look, you don't have a lot of time to get into any deep stuff, but I asked him about the state budget. We asked him whether or not he needed Trump's endorsement or not. Asked him about working across the aisle. Things. He answered all those questions. And again, because of his support for Donald Trump, not going to be someone that I would vote for, but I really came across as someone who was not, when you meet him on the street, you know, like, oh, that's a slimy politician. I because the Republican Party booth was right across the aisle from the Civic Media booth. I watched him with the crowd for over 2 hours. I watched him in one of the barns. He listens to people. unlike Scott Walker, who I also saw campaign, it's not a forced thing. It's not like, oh, he's pretending to be a politician. He's pretending to be interested. He comes across as a very genuine guy and smooth. And I don't mean that derogatorily. I mean, he's very polished. And I can see why he would connect. I can see why he got elected county executive of Washington County. So he put this on at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. He put on his X account a 27-second video just saying, hey, we're here at the Northern Wisconsin Fair. We're meeting people. They're ready for new leadership. Well, you know, can't wait to see you. Here's where we're going to be next. Very, very good video. So Devin Remicker, the new Wisconsin Democratic Party chair, reposts that on Twitter, along with a guy, who do you think he looks like, the comedian?
Nathan Fielder.
We think it might be Nathan Fielder. We're not 100% sure.
Just the angle is a little weird, hard to match with other pictures of him.
It appears that Remicker is trying to poke fun at Josh Shulman's natural facial features, which, look, I'll make fun of Guilfoyle or these Trump women that get the Botox and the lips and the hair extension because they're intentionally changing their looks to please Donald Trump. And also they're in positions of power. And I think that's funny to me.
Punching up is different. Yeah,
exactly. You're punching up. This is seemingly making fun of someone's natural or poking fun at someone's natural features, which I don't think is cool. Then Remicker puts above that, he says, quote, out on the campaign trail, talking to my hundreds of excited grassroots supporters. They're all just out of frame, cheering for me too, unquote. Because in the video that Shulman posted, he is standing there alone because he has the Northern Wisconsin State Fair behind him.
It turns out people don't hang out by the sign for the Northern Wisconsin right. State Fair. They hang out inside the Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
And so Remicker seems to be like trying to insinuate that Shulman didn't meet a bunch of people. There weren't hundreds of people. Look, because our booths were across from each other, I will tell you that Josh Shulman did in fact meet hundreds of people because I saw it. And he was actually really good at it. So, you know, Devin Remicker is what, 32, 33 years old? And he's very young. And he was Ben Wickler, the very successful longtime Democratic chairman of Wisconsin. Remicker was his deputy. And look, I thought the Democrats should have put Joseph Pecky, a more seasoned guy, I think is in his late 30s or 40, early 40s, a professional marketer. Zepecki was on this program. I thought the Democrats would have been better served, but I'm not a Democrat. Democrats said, no, Todd, you're all washed up. And they decided to put Devin Remicker there. I hope Remicker comes on the show. We've invited him. I would love to have him. As we said, Ben Wickler was on this show several times. Always enjoyed him. But I think this kind of too cute by half, seemingly making fun of Josh Shulman's physical appearance and then insinuating that Shulman was lying about meeting hundreds of people at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, it seems very Trump-esque to me. And if Democrats think that the way you win elections is by mimicking Donald Trump, they're off on that. They're just off. Because Republicans rally around Trump because there's just Donald. It's all about Trump and mimicking Trump on the right. People aren't going to vote for Democrats, in my opinion, by mimicking Trumpism and being mean about things and punching down. What I think Remicker should have done is said, look, does Josh Shulman support federal ICE troops coming in and disappearing people in our farm fields and dairy farms? That would have been a fair punch on policy. But to just go after a guy for his natural looks and then to insinuate that he's lying, because I'll tell you what, we were at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair for 2 days, Kreitler and I were. You know who I didn't see there? Governor Tony Evers. You know who I didn't see there? Any Democratic elected official. I'm not saying maybe the other 1 or 2 days the fair went on might not have been there. But the Republican booth was hopping. It was well laid out. Lots of people behind there. It was hopping. The Democratic booth was off in a corner with one little sign that did not look good, by the way. And one person sitting there. I just think that Devin Remicker and the Democrats could do better. Maybe having more people like Representative Tip McGuire, who I think is doing a great job down here in Racine. He will join us next via phone. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show live on location from beautiful Racine, Wisconsin, the home of WRJN across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is county fair season around Wisconsin, but that does not mean Mother Nature is aware of the schedule. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. How many times have you made plans for the county fair or maybe a concert, an outdoor event? Suddenly, Mother Nature changes all those plans. Robert Holmes is the president of Spectrum Weather and Specialty Insurance. He works directly with county fairs. He said, when you take a look at the cost a fair incurs for something like a truck and tractor pull or a concert, insurance helps offset those potential losses.
So you could have a situation like, maybe you're doing a concert. All your costs and everything might be, let's say, $40,000. And between ticket sales and everything else, your goal is to go over that 40 and maybe make $10,000. And then if it's, just a horrible night weather-wise or, power goes out or something, you're refunding tickets, all that money goes away, you lose all your revenue, but you still have to pay the artists, the people that do the staging, sound and lights, they all still get paid. And so that can be easily a $40,000 or $50,000 loss. If you've got the insurance in place, that loss goes away.
Robert Holmes, president of Spectrum Weather and Specialty Insurance, he says you have to remember, county fairs don't get a do-over. The acts or performers that they had contracted were available only for that one night. So if their performance is lost, so is that revenue.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most, your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
And Wisconsin field crops are coming along nicely. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service says that our corn condition is 78% good to excellent, soybeans 74% good to excellent. Winter wheat right now about 72% called good to excellent, and in some areas of Wisconsin, harvest of winter wheat and oats already underway. Potato harvest has also begun in some areas. Conditions rated 89% good to excellent. I'm PM Yonke.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hot and humid today, with highs spiking to the upper 80s and the humidity really making it feel more like the low 90s. A slight breeze out of the south with clear skies tonight. Do have showers and storms targeting us tomorrow afternoon, and some could be strong to severe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 84 degrees at our studios.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed us. Just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast, Mike Schmidt. Then local rock duo, 7,000 Apart, joins me to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tylo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location of our first day, our first sight of our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour. Kicking it off here at the studios, WRJN. This is where WAUK broadcasts out of in beautiful Racine, Wisconsin. Home of O&H Kringle. Great sponsor, great Kringle. Coming up in hour two, we're going to do a little bit of What's Worse featuring Kringle's Word of Things. And by the way, Dave in New Berlin, one of our great listeners, says, Racine is my hometown, Todd. I used to visit the studio when I was a teenager. I cut a few sound checks. He says not very good ones, but I bet they are. He said, likely in the very studio that you're in. Back, he says, back in 1926, I think. He kids.
No, he was saying that to me because I said that we were talking about, you know, the old studio, and we said old in loving terms, like historic, and that it's one of the first stations in the U.S. that went on air. So right. Dave was saying he believes it went on air in 1926.
Oh, I see. Got it. No, I love, because my first job on radio, WRCO in Richland Center, was in the original studio that opened up in 1949. And so to have a chance to broadcast from a historical studio like RJN here in Racine, another original building built for radio, is an honor and a privilege. And we're so happy that we are here, happy that you're along with us at 36 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock, and so happy to have our next guest here as well. According to his X-Files, his X-account, says proudly serving the greater Kenosha, Racine, Summers, Mount Pleasant, Elmwood Park region. He is a state representative from the 64th District, including the city of Racine, a member of the powerful Joint Finance Committee, and he joins us via phone, State Representative Tip McGuire. Tip, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. How are you?
I could not be better. I'm sorry we picked a day when you were not in the district. We came down here and didn't give you a heads up, but I appreciate you calling in and joining us because, you know, back in the day, during my former boss, Dale Schultz's last stint in the Capitol, 2010 to 14, you were then working for former state rep Peter Barca. And in a bipartisan fashion, you and I over lunch would go out and take a walk around the building, as they say, the Capitol, or a couple of blocks away. And we would say, well, geez, how could our bosses work together? And lo and behold, back in those days, both Dale and Peter did find ways to work together and got along. I always appreciated those talks and walks. And it's great now to have you on as a state legislator yourself.
Well, I appreciated those talks and walks as well. And those are two guys that we can both be proud to have worked for.
Oh, absolutely. I really believe that. I wish we had more of that going on in the Capitol. And you're in your second term now?
I'm in my fourth term.
Are you really? Oh, my God. I see. Yeah. I'm getting old, Tip. It goes so fast. Well, just watching you and the way that you've carried yourself, the way that you have worked with the public, it reminds me a lot of the best of our two former bosses, because you're someone who truly cares. You're getting to represent your hometown area. And I think first and foremost, when you have a passion to represent where you're from, I think that makes a difference. Agree or disagree?
I 100% agree. The number one reason that you run for office is because you care about your hometown and you want it to succeed. And so I'm very proud. It's the honor of a lifetime to represent Kenosha.
So tell us, for those that don't know, I mean, you know, I grew up in Richland Center, Southwest Wisconsin, and lived almost half my life now in Madison. I don't get down to this part of the state as often as I should or I would like. We're a statewide show. Tell folks a little bit, if you were just kind of given the elevator pitch or telling people about your hometown area, the district you now represent in the assembly, what should people know?
I mean, I think you have to start at Lake Michigan. We have one of the wonders of the world right here in our backyard. We've got Lake Michigan. We're right on the lake, and so we're sort of between Milwaukee and Chicago, but we have excellent food, a little influence from both, excellent food, some wonderful museums, a downtown trolley that you can ride around, especially in the summer. I wouldn't recommend it as much when it's cooled out, but you can. And it's just a beautiful community that, you know, honestly, it is a city. It's 100,000-plus people. But in reality, it still has that small-town feel where people know each other and the community is very comfortable with each other.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful part of the state that those of us that might not get down here. I mean, a lot of people like going to Milwaukee to a Brewers game. And I think for some of us, it's like, well, that's southeast Wisconsin. No. There's actually a lot of life and vibrancy south of Milwaukee between that and the state border. And Racine and Kenosha area certainly have that. Tip, tell us Absolutely. Before we get into the policy of this thing, tell folks a little bit about your journey growing up here, where you went to school, and kind of what drew you into politics.
Yeah, so I guess if I'm being totally, totally frank, so I grew up here in Kenosha County. I grew up in the town of Summers, where my mother still lives, but not too far from where I live now. And so my father taught at Parkside. My mother taught at a school in Chicago, and they both drove in different directions every morning and then returned home. But growing up with a family of teachers, I read a lot, and we had like a big, you know, acre and a half yard. And so I would get into all sorts of adventures out there. Growing up, I went to St. Sebastian's in Sturtevant and then St. Catherine's High School in Racine. I went to Marquette for undergrad, and then I came to work with you in the Capitol, Todd, for 5 years before I went to law school at the University of Wisconsin. Following law school, I was a prosecutor. I was a special prosecutor in Kenosha and then an assistant DA in Milwaukee. And then when the opportunity to run opened up in my hometown, I took it and I ran. I guess I would say the thing that initially drew me to politics was when I was, 16, 15 years old, I opposed the war in Iraq. And so I started watching and observing politics a lot more that way. My parents were always very politically involved. And then from there, I volunteered on my very first campaign, which is in 2004 for John Kerry and Russ Feingold, and I made phone calls for them. And then after that, I was just committed to making sure that we had a Wisconsin and the United States that benefited working people and where we could have faith that the decisions made by our leaders were the ones with our best interests at heart.
I love the story, and I said that wrong. I apologize. It really isn't just politics. To me, it was a public service, and I think you're someone. I think I know you're someone because I've spent time with you in the Capitol. I've seen you work. I've seen you listen to people. You're someone who really cares about helping others and making your area and the entire state better. And that's what I respect about you and appreciate. Even if we might, you know, not always agree on every single policy thing, it's your intent and why you do this. And we're talking with State Representative Tip McGuire from the 64th District Democrat here from the Kenosha and Racine area. So talk to us a little bit. Well, first of all, Tip, I got to say, so you got your law degree at Wisconsin, undergrad at Marquette, right?
Yeah.
So tell us, the big game, Wisconsin Marquette basketball, who do you cheer for?
Look, Marquette doesn't have a football team for me to cheer for, so I usually give them the edge in basketball. You know, the Badgers, they got other things for me to cheer for them in, so I usually give Marquette the edge in basketball.
My former boss, one of my other former bosses, Scott Klug, he's a big Marquette fan and grad, and so he takes me to one Marquette game, men's basketball game a year. And I have to say, as a Wisconsin fan, Marquette student section for men's basketball is better, in my opinion, most nights. And they really, Shaka Smart, they really do it the right way. So it's just part of what makes Wisconsin great. All right, let's get on to some actual politics here. So the state budget, you're one of four Democrats. There's two assembly people. There's two senators on the state budget committee, joint finance committee. You're one of the three who voted no on the state budget. Tell us, we had State Senator Kelda Royce on the program quite a bit during the budget. She was also a no vote. Tell us, Representative McGuire, why you voted no.
Well, I think to get into the no vote, I want to kind of remind everyone about the context of that final decision. After what seemed like many more months than is typically given, but was actually roughly on time, the process as it was going through, Republicans continued to try and create this very right-wing, very conservative, very radical budget. And briefly, they had entered into negotiations with the governor and then walked away. And then they continued down this path of having a very right-wing budget. And so from that point, that is sort of the undergirding of what was in a lot of the budget. Now, the governor was able to come in and negotiate with them the second time and drag them kicking and screaming to a better result. He was able to improve some of the funding for education. He was able to make sure that we were at least extending child care counts or something like it for an additional year. He was able to reverse the $87 million cut that they were planning for the UW and start putting funds back into our university system. And so there were a lot of really positive things that the governor did, but there were also a lot of things that were still a part of that budget that were very conservative. And so when it came time for me to vote, I looked at the things that I had set out at the beginning as what we needed to accomplish with this budget. You know better than most, Todd, that every year the legislature gets together. We have a lot of bills that we debate and that we differ on and that we agree on, et cetera. But usually there are some big pressing issues that are the business of that year, things that must be accomplished. And from my perspective, the thing that must have been accomplished this year was ending the cycle of referendum across the state. Unfortunately, in school districts everywhere, rural, urban, big, small, and we heard it when we did the joint finance tour. It was the number one issue discussed. School districts were suffering and were going to referendum and were raising property taxes on their communities, and their communities were stuck with that choice. Mm-hmm. Whether to raise my own property taxes and make sure that my kid has a good school, or whether to keep my property taxes and housing affordable, but worry about what's going to happen at the school. Are they going to go to larger class sizes? Are they going to lay off teachers? What's going to be happening at my school district? And so we needed to end that problem. And unfortunately, this budget doesn't do that. I think for communities across the state, they will once again go to referendum. The governor had, at the beginning of the budget process, had put in a tremendous amount of property tax relief to make sure that the referendums that had already passed wouldn't continue to impact folks as harshly. And unfortunately, Republicans took that out and refused to put it back in. They neglected education, they neglected property taxes, and that means that communities are going to go back to this question of should we raise property taxes when those property taxes are already going to be going up.
State Representative Tim McGuire, the 64th District. A couple of minutes left here, Representative. What you just said, that you laid it out perfectly. And I'm not asking you to speak for the governor, but as someone who had a seat at the table, can you give us any insight as to why Governor Evers, and I agree with him, drew a red line in the sand to get money for child care in the state? He drew a red line, at least to some degree, to get more money for UW system, which I agree with, but he chose not to draw a red line to get the adequate or more money for K-12 public education.
Well, I think that the governor made significant progress in the special education funding, which was very important. And so I really want to credit him for Senator Hesselbein for doing a good job negotiating better results for Wisconsinites. But ultimately, if I'm being totally honest, Todd, I don't think that Republicans would have budged on property tax relief, because think that they are hoping that this fall they're going to come in and they're going to introduce some bill on the 400-year veto thing. Or they're going to introduce decoupling and they're going to say, oh, people's property taxes are going to go up unless you cut education in these other ways, or you know, send the first dollar from the state to voucher schools or whatever it is.
Right.
I think that they're going to come back in and use what they did in this budget as an excuse to do more damage later.
Do you have time to stick around for another segment, or you got to go?
Yeah, there's
right.
One other point I want to make.
We're up against the clock. That's why I asked. So we're going to take a quick break and do a little business and more on the other side. It's a cliffhanger. That's a tease from State Representative Tim McGuire, who will finish his thought asking more about politics and government on the other side. We're live in his district at Racine, home of WRJNWAUK. It's the All Ball Show on location across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Brennan Center for Justice released its annual survey of local election officials. It found continued concerns for threats against poll workers and the loss of election security funding and staff now that the Trump administration has cut federal election security grants. The survey of over 800 municipal election officials found 60% were very or somewhat concerned about federal cuts to election security services. We reported in March on DOGE cuts of 300 cybersecurity experts from CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, and the suspension of grant funding to states for hardening systems to fight increasing cyber attacks from Russia, China, and Iran. Of the surveyed officials, 62% were concerned by the loss of CISA's direct technical support, and 80% said the federal government should be providing the same or more funding, not less. One-third of local election officials are very concerned about political leaders interfering with the work of poll workers, up 4% from a similar question in 2023. An additional one-quarter are somewhat worried about interference. Officials overwhelmingly, 81%, are concerned about false election information spread on social media, which contributes to 38% saying they have been harassed, abused, or threatened for just doing their job. We have links to the full Brennan Center survey at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Win a pair of Brewers tickets from 92.7 WMDX and Downgrins Distilling. See the Brew Crew take on the Cubs with John and Gordy, July 29th at AmFam Field.
One lucky listener will win a pair of tickets and sit next to us.
Is that a good thing, really?
Not only that, the food and drinks are on us.
Get to WMDXradio.com to enter Cubs and Brewers with John and Gordy at AmFam Field.
Meet you at the ballpark.
Sponsored by 92.7 WMDX and Downgrins Distilling. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Promise me. Please promise me as time goes by that it will be you and I.
Spinning the great hits from WRJN in Racine, Wisconsin. It's the All Balls Show, live on location in Racine, our studios here at Civic Media. 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, that is Mickey Shore and the Versatones from Starlight Records. Here, it was a label you said, Zombers, it was here in Racine, and they recorded in this very studio.
I don't know, not this studio. What? It was at 1620 Edgewood Avenue.
Oh, okay. Back in the day.
In the 50s and 60s, yeah.
Very good. Well, we appreciate him sticking around, the state representative from this area, Tip McGuire of the 64th District, Democrat here in the Racine and Kenosha area. Representative McGuire, have you heard of this Starlight Records? This is part of the history of this district, and again, shows the diversity. I mean, you got it all down here. You got record labels, you got Shoreline, you got sports, you got crops. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I've never heard of Starlight Records before, so I'm glad that you introduced this to me. I'm going to have to look them up right a bit. I took a note when you mentioned it earlier.
Oh, very good, very good. Well, I appreciate coming back because, look, I'm not. You're not here to speak for the governor. I don't expect that. But you were a no vote on the state budget here. And the question I posed was, you know, the governor drew a line in the sand for child care money, which I agreed with. He drew a line in the sand for UW's system. I don't think enough, but that's beside the point. I agreed with what he did draw the line in the sand for. And as someone who touts himself as the education governor, I just said I didn't understand why he didn't draw a deeper line in the sand on that. Granted, he got money for special education, but to your point earlier, this budget means that people all over the state are going to have more referendums. Eau Claire District is going to lose like $2 million in the next biennium. There are smaller districts with even a greater impact. You were making a point. You wanted to finish up on that.
Yeah, I wanted to say I thought that the governor did excellent work in dragging Republicans kicking and screaming further than I think that they wanted to go. But he also was butting up against a timeline. And that timeline isn't just the normal timeline for a budget to pass. And you'll never hear legislative Republicans talk about this. Maybe they've mentioned this. I don't know. I would doubt it. But that timeline was shortened because federal Republicans were passing the federal debt bomb bill that was going to cut millions of Americans off their health care and was going to create problems in the health care space across the country. And that included some federal dollars that the state receives and that goes into healthcare here in Wisconsin to make sure that we have coverage for people. And so I think that the governor was working to get as much done as he could in the timeline that he had. And while I wish that the budget was better, it certainly I don't believe that it'll have benefited Kenosha schools down here. And so I think that there's going to be a lot of challenges facing our school districts. I also understand why the governor did what he did. And I'm grateful that he was able to take this budget. I mean, honestly, Todd, I don't know if you were listening to every joint finance hearing, and I hope you weren't.
I missed that. I'm sorry, Tip.
yeah. But an awful lot of those hearings were watching people take votes to just refuse to fund programs that Wisconsinites would be shocked.
Right.
If he weren't funded. And the governor took that budget and he made it better. And it, again, it wasn't good enough to earn my vote, but I appreciate his efforts in doing that.
And quickly, I talked about this during the process. I'm glad you brought it back up because I totally agree with you. You know, you've been in many more, I'm sure. But back when I worked for Dale Schultz in the state Senate, I was in meetings with Robin Voss. You'll remember this. We were both working at the Capitol when Dale held up the raping of the land and the Republican mining bill in northern Wisconsin, at least for a while, and was in private meetings with Robin Voss. And he gets to a point where he just politely says, okay, I think we're done here. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later. And he walks out of the room. And I think you're right. I think that the governor probably pushed Speaker Voss as far as he could have gone.
I wasn't in the room, so I can't confirm that, but I would hope so. Yeah. I certainly think that the governor was sticking up for his priorities, and his priorities were those three big things that we mentioned: education, childcare, and the EW system.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, so I think that there are certainly some positives in the budget. It did get a lot better, but obviously I think there's going to continue to be challenges on that one big problem that the state should be working to address today.
All right. You're a young guy. You're a smart guy. You've made a name for yourself. You're on Joint Finance Committee. Are you outside the building? Can I ask you a political question?
You can.
All right. Very good. So I want to know in the next 2 minutes, what do Democrats have to do statewide? Just in your opinion, as a young Democratic leader, what do Democrats have to do politically to win in the state in 2026?
You know, I saw a headline the other day that I thought could have been one of those recurring onion headlines. And the headline was, in quotes, "Dems may be overthinking this." And I think that's true. I think that we, you know, you worked on campaigns before. You know what campaigns are. It's about talking to voters. It's about going out and talking to people in your community, talking to people across the state. We tend to think of these things as big strategic chess games. But really what we should be doing is taking our values, going out, asking people what they care about, and then telling them how we want to help. It's that simple.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. And I wish more, as someone who doesn't belong to any party anymore, I left the Republican Party in 2011. I want to see Democrats win because I think it's the only major political party left that believes A, in democracy fully and truly, and B, that can lead us forward. But they keep seeming to step on their own message. And is this, I'm sorry, we're got 1 minute left. Do you think that this divide in the state between, I'll just call it progressive Democrats and more centrist Democrats, is that going to be the bane of 2026, or can they pull it together?
Oh, we can pull it together. Absolutely. I'm very confident in, you know, both the elected officials that we've got from across the spectrum, as well as in the people who are concerned about the future of our country. We can pull it together. We will pull it together because, frankly, the state depends on it.
All right. Here's our goofy question for next hour. You get the first take at it. What's worse, Representative McGuire, coffee cake or Kringle?
What's worse?
What's worse, coffee cake or Kringle?
Coffee cake, of course. Kringle's amazing.
You got the right answer. We'll play that on the other side. State Representative Tip McGuire from the 64th District. Thank you for your time, my friend. Always welcome on this program. Thanks for letting us hang out in your district. Have a great day.
Yep, you too.
Thank you so much. State Representative Tip McGuire, we appreciate him. Come on back. We'll play What's Worse, Coffee Cake or Kringle. Greg Bach in the second hour and more news. It's the All Ball Show from Racine after this.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At a hearing today, Mike Walls, President Trump's former national security advisor and since nominated to be the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., facing questions about the use of unsecured messaging app Signal.
Senator Chris Coons pressed Walls repeatedly on this issue of Signal and was it appropriate to use in the setting that he used. Because remember, he created this group chat to discuss those plans of an imminent military strike on the Houthis in Yemen. And what Walls said is that Signal was recommended to be used for some form of communication. But Coons pressed him again and said, yeah, but it wasn't recommended to be used for classified communication. And Walt said, well, he didn't discuss anything that was classified on the chat.
In Texas, new flood alerts and evacuations ordered that are already impacting the still devastated areas by the July 4th flash.